Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Monday of the fourth week of Easter, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is calling in from Los Altos, California today with a preaching entitled, Leading as Jesus Leads.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Yesterday in the church, we celebrated the fourth Sunday of Easter, often called Good Shepherd Sunday, because of the gospel of the day, which lifts up one of Christianity's favorite images of Jesus. But yesterday's gospel passage only lifts up the first part of Jesus' preaching, identifying himself as the Good Shepherd. That passage continues today and even a little bit unto tomorrow, a Good Shepherd Triduum in the middle of the Easter season. Growing up, I think I always imagined that Jesus' association of himself with shepherds was something original to him. Like maybe one day he was walking past some shepherds in a field with their sheep and thought, oh, that's kind of like the relationship I have with my followers. But that's not the case at all. The image of a leader being like a shepherd was a very old one in the part of the world where Jesus lived, not only among the people of Israel, but across the whole Near East, the still of the Code of Hammurabi, almost 800 years before Jesus, features Hammurabi, the first king to unite Mesopotamia, seated on a throne carrying a staff. In the tombs of the ancient pharaohs, the two hieroglyphics most associated with their ruling role are the Heka and Nehaka, or the shepherd's crook and rod. In both Hebrew and Greek, the word for staff and the word for scepter are the same word. To be a king in Jesus' time and culture was understood to be like a shepherd, one who herds sheep. And it's not necessarily an endearing image. Shepherds don't necessarily herd sheep for fun or because they like them. The sheep are their livelihood. And often kings looked down on their people, used them for their own purposes. In Jesus' time, shepherds were often seen as living outside the law, even as bandits. And kings could be that way too. Indeed, one of the most poignant passages in all of Hebrew scriptures, the prophet Ezekiel excoriates the shepherds of Israel who have consumed the milk of their flocks and worn their wool and slaughtered their fatlings, but have neglected to pasture them, have not healed the injured nor sought out the lost, who ruled them harshly and brutally and let them become food for wild beasts. Clearly, Ezekiel's not really talking to the shepherds here, but to the kings whose poor leadership led to the exile, to the people of Israel being scattered from Israel to Babylon and Egypt and beyond. And at the close of that devastating passage, God makes a promise that God has had enough of these bandits being entrusted with his people's care. that God himself is going to come to shepherd them and will bind up the injured and heal the sick and seek out the lost and bring the flock to pasture and green pastures. God himself will be the shepherd. And so when Jesus stands that day in the temple in Jerusalem and announces not just that he is like a shepherd, but that he is the good shepherd, that's no cozy picture he's painting of a bucolic scene to hang on a child's bedroom wall. It's a political statement that the time of reckoning for those in leadership has come. Bad shepherds, beware. There's a new shepherd in town. And then he goes on to describe what's so distinguishing about his leadership. He knows his sheep. Really knows them like he knows God and God knows him, a knowledge perhaps better known as love. And he unites them into one, calling them into unity, calling even those who are beyond his current flock. And perhaps most distinctive of all, as he emphasizes five times in today's passage, he lays down his life for them. Nowhere else, at least that I've seen, in all of the ancient imagery of leadership as shepherding, does it talk about the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep? Even in Ezekiel, the king might go out in battle, building or defending his kingdom, his livelihood, his wealth, his role, his honor, but willingly, intentionally laying down his own life so that his people might be spared, so that his people might remain united. Are there stories of ancient kings doing this? Maybe there are. I'm not aware of any. Jesus forever changed the definition of what good leadership, good shepherding looks like. In his passage, he reminds those of us who follow in his footsteps as leaders that we must truly know and love those that we lead. He reminds us that our work is to build up community, fostering unity, not division. Welcoming in even those who are not currently part of the community. And he reminds us that ultimately the sign of a good leader is the willingness to lay down one's life for the flock, that the good of those we lead trumps our own. Sometimes this will mean the ultimate sacrifice, as in recent U.S. events where we have stories of principals going out to confront gunmen and teachers shielding their students from bullets. More often, it will involve endless daily decisions to do what's best for those we lead, even when it would not be the best for us. Meeting at times not convenient on our own calendars, bringing up a difficult topic even when we would prefer to avoid conflict, sacrificing our own lunch hour to deal with another's pastoral need. As one of my own mentors said to me at the beginning of my career, in administration, you die 1,000 deaths for the good of the whole. Our world is still full of bad shepherds. There's much evil, and there are many who would run away from the self-sacrifice that good leadership requires in our time, just as in every time. But if we ourselves understand the teaching of the Good Shepherd and follow in his footstep, at some point, it means taking up the heka and nehaka ourselves and demonstrating how they're meant to be used, modeling the kind of leadership that Jesus models.